talking about the creek. Creek talk, talking about the creek. Creek talk, talking about the creek. Talking about Dawson's Creek.
Welcome back to Creek Talk. This is Steven.
And I'm Jamie.
And this week, we're recapping Season 5, Episode 22, The Abbey.
Woo! Did you understand the term, The Abbey?
No,
I didn't know what the title had to do with the episode. I'm like, what do they mean by The Abbey? Like the street? Like Abbey Road? Like in London?
No, I don't know why.
Let's see. What do they mean by The Abbey?
I was just thinking of that. I was like,
is it known for racing? I mean, we did have the whole scene with, Psycho Pants.
Oh my God. That lady, Alex.
Yeah.
She was a nutcase.
She's totally batshit crazy. And then she tried to
kill them.
She tried to make it seem like Pacey was the crazy one just to save her job. Dude,
yep.
The moment that you started saying those things about your employee in front of all these people, come on, bro. Come on, bro. You can't say that.
It made me laugh, though, because she was so, she was trying to just throw him under the bus. And he was like, yeah, I knew you were going to do that. So,
yeah.
You're not going to do that to me, Alex.
The moment that she started, saying that he's crazy and all that stuff.
Obsessed with her.
Yeah. I'm like, this moment that she started saying that stuff, you know that those people, the investors, looked at her and was like, oh, okay, this is how this is going to go. Because any sane person would have been like, okay, so this is Pacey and this is not the place to have this type of discussion. So I apologize for this. And, we may need to reschedule and we can discuss this at a later time in a more private setting. When we don't have all of these people. You know what I mean? Like, there have been way better ways for her to handle it. But wasn't me, but when she, snapped her fingers and then clapped for them to come out, I really wanted to punch her in her teeth. What kind of establishment is this?
Well, I just assumed that they had, a system where she would do that and they would just come right out.
She probably enforced that. Like, this is what's going to happen. I'm not going to come in and say, okay, guys, come on. I'm going to snap my fingers. Like, we're some, tutti frutti mansion, above the first class type, thing. And I expect you to come out and deliver the food. I don't know. I don't know what kind of restaurant this is supposed to be, if it was supposed to be fine dining to the point of only rich people can attend. But I feel like she was pushing civilization into I don't know what the hell she was doing. Listen, I don't come from a kitchen background. I am not the biggest cook fan. Like most of my stuff is crock pot related or, real simple. So
basic cooking.
Basic. I don't know what she was expecting. Did she not think that people were going to retaliate? The moment that she started firing people for no real reason.
I was glad that happened. I vaguely remembered this episode. I remember the scene in the car. I remember when his car stalls out and she's going like this, come on, come on, come on. Tell him to get in. And he's like, all right, all right. I remember that. And I remember the water balloon stuff. So I do remember a lot of this episode. But
I forgot about the water balloons. I forgot about the whole thing with Mr.
You always call him Mr. Professor Wilder.
Yeah. That, because to me,
Mr. Wilder.
Because teachers to me are Mr. and Miss or Mrs. or whatever. I keep forgetting they're in college and it's professor now or doctor, depending on who you're talking to. So when Professor Wilder showed up, I totally forgot about that whole situation and all of that. I forgot about Joey going home, going to see her dad, and him not being there until the shit was happening. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I forgot about the crazy lady in the car until that was happening. And then Pacey was like, we're going to die. He played that off really well, though. He's like, all right, how can I get her to stop? I'm going to encourage her and freak her out.
Yep. He did it. He did the right thing, but she did almost.
That was a scary thing. I can't believe that he opened the door for her afterwards. He got out of the car, which I would have got out and walked away or something. He got out, walked around, opened her door, and sat on the curb. I'm like, why? I would have left her there. I would have been like, you psycho bitch, and I'm out.
Pacey, I think he just.
He's a gentleman through and through.
Yeah, he just really wanted to know what was wrong with her, I guess, because. She really isn't that awful to him. It's weird. She's very manipulative with him, and she does all these crazy weird things, but they have these moments where they're like being very genuine and kind to each other, which is odd. And then she does the whole thing in the car where she's like speeding in the car and almost kills them. But then they're sitting down after that whole thing and talking, and she puts her head on his shoulder and he just laughs. Like, it is very chaotic and manic. And I feel like he just wants to understand why she's like that and maybe help her. But we never see her ever again. So
no. Thank God for that, because...
And also, I felt like Alex used to be a fat child, like an overweight child, because all she talked about was that she was going to be an overweight, fat lady with cats all over her. She's dealing with her struggles.
I don't even know how to, like, pick apart her character's, like, mental issues. You know what I mean? I really don't understand her deal.
She's a narcissist, for one.
Yeah, that's probably a big thing on it. Like, she's a gaslighter and a narcissist, and... those type of people are extremely difficult to deal with, because like they just kind of they freak out. Like I don't know, man. She needs to be institutionalized.
No, I think she needs to get on medication if she's not already, for like her mood, you know, a mood stabilizer or something. I don't know.
I wonder if she's like got multiple personality disorder or something, because.
Maybe
she's all over the place, dude. She's mean to her employees at work, but she's nice to Pacey. But then again, she ruins Pacey's relationship by like putting the moves on him, which is completely inappropriate and, you know, harassment, and then lures him into this situation, and then he basically loses his girlfriend and then is like, screw it, let's do it, and which is what she basically claims, and then she gets what she wants and then she stops. Oh, we can't do this. I just wanted to know that we could. So I ruined your relationship basically for a game. Like, I just, these people, they're crazy.
I found out why the episode's titled The Abbey.
Oh yeah, why?
Okay, so according to Dawson's Creek Wiki, the episode title was the idea of writers Jonathan Kasdan and Diego Gutierrez. The Abbey refers to the industry term for the second to last shot of the day, or the Abbey Singer shot. The lore behind the term has a few iterations, but it originates with an old Hollywood assistant director, Abbey Singer, who after a long day would save the crew time and energy by always announcing the shot before last as this and one more. How would we know that?
We wouldn't, unless we looked it up or... are familiar with the film industry, so I guess it makes sense for Dawson's. And it is the episode before the last of the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's true. Yeah, next week's the season finale. Wow.
Yeah.
Good call.
I don't know why they would pick that, though. I don't know if it has anything to do with the episode, but...
it doesn't.
As far as where this episode sits in the season, yeah. I guess it makes sense.
That makes sense.
They probably didn't know what to call it, so they said, we'll just call it The Abbey. Only film geeks will understand.
Yeah, I'm glad I looked it up. I'm glad you had the insight to figure that out, because I did not even think of that. The other thing that I noticed about this episode, I always love this episode because it was when Jen's dancing to The Who, Baba O'Reilly.
On the chair.
They cut out that song and replaced it. And as soon as I saw that or heard they cut it out, I was so upset, because I always love that scene. I was like, oh, she's just being so like... You know,
this makes sense to me only because whatever she was dancing to on that chair did not match the music that was playing. And I'm like, man, if I was listening to this rock song, I wouldn't be doing whatever it is that she's just kind of doing on that chair. Like, yeah. My movements would have been more, not so like weird. I don't know. Like, her movements and dancing didn't match the song that they played.
Yeah, and you can even see her mouthing the words, and they're not the same words. So
that's my talk rate issue.
That's when I was like a little disappointed, because the music is so important to the show, and looking through the music of the episode and seeing how much they did replace, it was very disappointing. But
like, I can't escape the solar flare. Okay. I'm just going to keep adjusting until the sun moves.
Solar flare.
Whatever. It's like a glare. The solar glare, not the flare. Sorry, it's a glare.
But we will break down this episode in just a momento. Why don't we do a quick catch up and just talk about what's new real quick before we get into the episode, Jamie? What's new with you?
Besides just preparing for Thanksgiving, I mean, I pretty much kind of talked about it earlier today. It's really just cooking and preparing and thinking and planning because I've never done this before. It's first time for everything.
Well, do you know what side you're cooking?
Yeah, mashed potatoes, stuffing. I'm making a green bean casserole. Kind of excited. Don't know how that's going to come out.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, and then Chris got some other type of meat. I don't remember what it is. But that's on him, whatever he's doing. And I have pumpkin pie that I had to label. Everything is marked in bags and like on the bottom shelf of the fridge and all in bags in the thing so the kids don't touch it. They don't touch any of this stuff. It is not for you right now. So like, especially the pumpkin pie, they don't even know the pumpkin pie's in there. It's like in a bag buried with some other stuff. And I didn't write on the lid of the pumpkin pie, you know, do not eat. In case they do happen to find it. But when we're putting stuff away, we made it clear to everybody, like anything that's in these bags or on the bottom shelf, don't touch it.
Yeah.
Don't touch it.
That's exciting. At least, you know, it's your first Thanksgiving together.
Yeah. And it's our first Thanksgiving cooking ourselves too, separately or, you know, whatever. So I'm excited. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I hope
everything comes out edible.
I think you'll be fine.
Seeing as how he's a cook, I'm not too concerned. So.
Yeah, exactly. I remember in the beginning of the pandemic when we weren't able to go over anybody's houses and stuff, we were like, well, why don't we just do it here? And we haven't had like a Thanksgiving, just the two of us, in years, if at all, because we always just went to someone's house. But
yeah,
that was the first year that I actually like cooked the turkey myself. Like he set it up. I remember he like did a brine on it and then he set it up for me in the oven and he did all that stuff, but he was like, just make sure you're like keeping track of it and like basting it all day and like making sure. And I jazzed the shit out of that turkey. I basted it. I would add more, what is it called? Broth. I would put more butter on it. Like it was so good. And I take care of all the sides. So like, I remember we had so much food and my grandma and grandpa weren't going anywhere. So we sent them down like a ton of food because they only lived up the street from us. But my grandma was like, you gave us so much food. And I was like, well, yeah, I overcooked, but it's good for leftovers. Like Thanksgiving leftovers are great, you know?
Oh, yeah. Especially turkey. Dude, turkey sandwiches all day. I'll just take chunks of turkey and they want bread. And that's all I need. Question for you.
That is good.
So I was reviewing the recipe that I'm going to use for the turkey. And so like all the ingredients are really simple. But then as I was writing out the steps, just so that I would because it's all on my phone. And things get lost, you know what I mean? So I take the recipes that I'm going to use, and I actually have a notebook I started since I can't find my recipe book. And so I started writing it down, and it got to this point where it was like, add all of these ingredients, which I already had listed, and then it's like, and spices. And I'm like, you didn't tell me what spices to cook. So what spices do you use? Because I have all the basic, actually, I have a whole bunch of spices, but I wouldn't know what to put on it.
You know, I feel like, you know, poultry seasoning is one, salt and pepper, obviously. But I use like kosher salt on everything. I never really use like table salt anymore. And, you know, cracked black pepper. I mean, you could use like some garlic powder if you want, but I feel like that kind of might overpower the turkey.
Yeah.
Garlic powder is good for like chicken.
I have like a roasted, hold on, I can tell you.
What you can do though,
like it's going to be mayo and, put them, it's right here. So like there's like bouillon and there's going to be an onion and there's mayo. It's going to be like covered in mayo and it just says and herbs. I don't know, it's a best foods recipe. And it's,
well, mayo's a fat anyway, so it doesn't matter. It's just going to make it moist and give it
that's the whole point. It's supposed to be a super moist Thanksgiving roasted turkey recipe, so it's going to be like a roasted turkey. Like I've got the gravy mix. So it just calls for like bouillon, an onion, and mayo. But then it says down here, herbs. And I'm like, I mean, like what kind of herbs? I mean, I have stuff in there. I just don't know.
The herbs that I always use for Thanksgiving are rosemary, sage, and thyme. And like you always put that in the stuffing.
I do have rosemary.
Turkey. You can get a. So this is what you can do if you want to like do every like. This is what we do. You get like a couple of lemons, cut them up. A couple of onions, cut them up. Maybe get like some carrots, whatever. Get a bundle of parsley. Like parsley's so cheap. Get the rosemary, sage, and thyme and bundle it up and literally put it in the cavity of the turkey, and it makes it it gives it all flavor. And with the broth, you just constantly keep like, it lets out all of that juice too from the inside of the turkey.
Maybe that's what they meant by herbs. They meant the rosemary, because it asked for rosemary, which we have like a bunch of rosemary.
Yeah, rosemary, sage, and thyme are the three that you always use around the holidays. But I would get a thing of poultry seasoning too if you have.
I do. Well, I have the chicken flavor bouillon, which I think is what that is. It's a seasoning, and like I need 2 tablespoons of that. It's for a 10-pound turkey, which we have like it's like 11 pounds, so it's not huge. And then we've got the gravy mix for turkey. So yeah, no, okay. This is what they. All right, I'm good then. I'm happy. I'm kind of excited. I want to
let me know how the mayonnaise thing works out, because I've never done that before.
Dude, I put mayo on everything. Like, I put mayo on chicken. I put mayo on pork chops. Like, I love using mayo as like a top seasoning. Like, I'll do mayo and I'll do Creole. I love Creole. I put that shit on everything too.
I heard of mayo on pork before.
Oh yeah. Like I'll bake a pork chop and I'll cover both sides in mayo and then put Creole on either side and bake it in the oven for depending on, you know, the type of pork chop. And it doesn't look pretty, but it tastes amazing.
Yeah. Simple. Yeah. Mayonnaise is good for even baking, because it's all it is oil.
Well, that's what I do. I bake it. Yeah. I don't fry food anymore, dude. I really don't fry anything unless I'm making like home fry, like potatoes, like home fries or something. I don't like frying food because it's so bad.
I don't fry either. I use the air fryer for everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too.
There is a recipe for, they're called British potatoes, and they're like roasted potatoes, and I want to make them because we have some potatoes left over, and I want to make them like real crispy. Good. Yeah, I want to make them. They look so good every time I see them.
They sound good.
Oh,
now that I'm hungry.
Well, we talked so much before we even hit record, but I'm going to just
dive right in.
Bothering me? No, I'm gonna just mention what I did over the weekend.
Okay.
We had, so Michael, Justin's little nephew, Michael, came and stayed with us for the weekend. And, but he's a lot. He's a cute kid, but he's a handful. And Justin wants to have him over every weekend now. And I was just like, yeah, I need a break. That took a lot out of me. But we took him shopping at Five Below. Oh, we didn't take him shopping. We went to Five Below and took him to McDonald's.
Yeah.
And you know, he had a good time with us. He didn't want to go home. Oh my god, it was so funny, Jamie. I didn't tell you this. So when we dropped him off to his mom, so his dad lives with his brother or something and the girlfriend. So like, there's other kids there. There's another kid in the house when we dropped him off, and he wanted all of Michael's toys. He was like, "That's mine." I was like, "No." I was like, "You can share it, but that's Michael's." Like, that shit bothers me, first of all, because it's like so rude, and. Yeah. Like, you're going to upset him now because you're trying to take all of his shit. So the kid was like highly, like he needed attention, this kid, you could tell. And he came up behind me and he started like play fighting with me, but he like whacked me on my back. Michael got up and hit that kid so hard for hitting me. And I looked at Justin, I was like, and Justin was like, what? I was like, he's protecting me. I was like, he loves me.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you, though, even though they fight back on stuff, I really feel like kids crave that structure. You know what I mean? That, like, because it's important, but it's not even just that. You're paying attention to these.
That's exactly what we did all weekend. We did. We paid attention.
You're involved. You're there. And I feel like, I mean, a lot of young people these days who have kids early, like, they... Not saying all of them, like I would never say all of them, because that's not always the case, but a lot of them, they don't want these kids, you know, they want to go out and they want to do their own thing, or, you know, they're not as involved like how other parents would be, where they're teaching their kids these things and they're, you know, no, what they do is they give them a tablet or some kind of device, they sit them in front of the TV, so that way they can be on their phone or they can go do this and they can do that and their kid is occupied.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, while it's nice to be able to do that, if there are certain things you have to do, like you need to pay attention to your kid too. You got to sit down and play with them. You got to take them to the park. You got to run around, do some crafts, you know, like whatever, entertain them, but in a way that like they're learning too. Otherwise, don't let the TV be the teacher, you know, like that shit.
Yeah, bothers. I totally agree with that.
So I don't know.
Well, we're going to have him more and more, but like, I just, you know, we need to take a break.
No, of course. That's totally fine. Every person needs a break from a kid. I'm sure every parent eventually needs a break. And even babysitters and daycare teachers, more power to you guys. I get it. So, I mean, whatever, but attention and structure for sure.
Exactly.
Curb those electronics, guys. Don't let the electronics raise your kids, please.
Yeah, I mean,
the internet's a dangerous place for kids.
I didn't have that life growing up. We were outside all the time. We're like,
well, me too, because the internet wasn't really like a really big thing. Not everybody had a computer in their house when we were kids, if at all, depending on your age. You know what I mean? We got our first computer, I think I might have been in like middle school, but I was never on it. I was outside playing. You know what I mean? I didn't have any need to be on the computer. I didn't, the games they had were real basic. I didn't care about video games. You know what I mean? I wanted to be outside with my friends running around barefoot in the grass. Like, that's what I did. I had a bunch of neighborhood friends and we came home when the lights came on. But
yeah, same.
You can't do that these days because there's a lot of psychos out there and it's dangerous unless you're out there with your kids. So unless they're playing in the yard, which is fine too. At least they're outside doing something and they're being active, not glued to a damn screen.
Well, I don't know. I just
clearly have strong thoughts about the thing.
I know. I'm like, yeah, maybe.
Have strong thoughts about being glued to a TV screen or a computer screen or an iPods aren't a thing anymore. iPad screen or a tablet or their, you know, cell phones, whatever. People are too plugged in. Adults too. You're all too plugged in. Put the phone down and interact with people.
Yeah, the phone is a major, you know, thing right now with people. Like, you need to get off your phone. I think that's all for now. Yeah, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. We both are celebrating differently. No, you're celebrating on Saturday. I'm going out tomorrow to Justin's parents.
Right.
And going to get my turkey on. Gobble, gobble. And if anybody is interested in listening to our Thanksgiving episode from when we first started, we recapped Katie Holmes' Thanksgiving film, Pieces of April. That was fun.
It was fun. I remember that. Oh my gosh, it was so long ago.
Right? And we had Lauren on from Swapping Horror Stories. Review that with us. That's a long episode too.
That is. And Lauren, we miss you.
Yeah, I will be seeing Lauren in a little bit because she asked me if I wanted to come on last minute. And I was like, I can do it, but like, this is when I can do it. So
tell her I says bye.
I will tell her. All right. Well, let's get into this episode, Jamie. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. So we are recapping season 5, episode 22, The Abbey, aired May 8th, 2002, written by Diego Gutierrez and Jonathan Kasdan, and directed by Michael Lang. So we start with Audrey. She's running through the halls of her dorm, and she's being chased by two boys with super soakers. And everybody's like in the hallway. It's like the end of the year. And she runs into her dorm, and we see the camera guy zoom in on Joey because cut to Katie. They cut to Katie's face, cut to her face. And she's like shocked because then all of a sudden the guys just spray the shit out of her with their water guns. And she starts laughing, and Audrey shuts the door. And Joey's like, the innocent bystander always gets it.
I'm just glad that like they didn't have laptops and like expensive technology like they do today, you know what I mean, in their dorm, because I would have been pissed off if water got on my equipment.
Well, if you think about it, if they had anything else that was remotely like, you know, precious, they could have destroyed that, you know. Mm-hmm. So could have been anything at that time. But yeah, she's soaked too. They drenched her. But She's like enjoying it. She's like, it's the end of the year. She's packing up. And Audrey tells her that she's missing the end of the year rager that's happening in their dorm. And she's like, hello, I'm participating. And she's like, I can't believe that. I can't believe the losers that lived here could actually party so hard. And she's like, you know, those geeks are really cute. And Joey's like, you know, I know you're single with a vengeance right now, but I have way too much packing to do than to go meet the cute dorks next door. And she's like, Dawson wants to leave for Capeside by 9. And Audrey's like, Joey. And she's like, for the millionth time, Audrey, I'm not going to LA. And she's like, well, why don't I just go to Capeside with you just for a couple of days? She's like, God knows I've heard so much about this twisted little place enough to come and visit. So she like gives in. She says, fine, but you need to go change your flight and you need to be ready by 9 because like Dawson's a stickler. But I was
is
like,
Dawson really a stickler or is the stickler Joey Potter?
It's Joey Potter. Is it 9 p.m. or 9 a.m.?
I'm assuming it's probably the morning.
Because it's, I'm like, well, what time is this? That they're
because, I mean, how long is the drive supposed to be from Boston to...
Not that long.
Capeside.
The amount of times they said it, it's a couple of hours. It's not like a whole
they're
day.
They're not leaving at 9 o'clock at night. I don't buy that. I'm pretty sure they're leaving in the morning. So they can get there probably like a little afternoon and then have the whole day. So 9 in the morning. It's probably early.
Yeah, so they're like up really early packing and throwing a rager in the dorm of Worthington.
College kids, no.
Yeah, right. So Audrey is excited and she thanks her. And then we hear a knock at the door and they're both like prepared with water balloons. And they're like, ready? And they're like, ready. She's like, ready. And then they open the door and they chuck the water balloons at their visitor. And we cut to the door frame. And it's Professor Wilder. Oh my God. He's soaked.
Yeah, they were expecting it to be the boys that were water soaking them with the gun, the squirt gun.
Yeah, and he's like, hello. And then Audrey's like, I gotta go. I gotta go fix my flight. And Joey just stands there like, and then she like puts her arm out as to say, like, come in.
Yeah, you're here. I haven't talked to you since, you know.
Since you broke up with me.
Right.
And then we get the opening credits. And when we come back, we're with Joey and Wilder, still in her dorm. So
did he look different to you? Like, younger or something? He looked different to me. I just can't place what it was.
No, he looked the same to me. He doesn't look any different to me.
I don't know. I looked at him. I'm like, why does he look different? But like his shirt was unbuttoned a little bit. I'm like, look at you.
He's not a bad looking guy. I don't think.
No, he's not. Looking.
He's just not my
type. I'm not knocking it. I'm just.
You know what, Jamie? I bet you in person, he's probably really attractive in person. Like he's one of those people that like if you see in person, you're like, oh my God, he's so handsome. Some people I just don't feel are like very photogenic or.
No, probably not.
You don't see them. They don't look the same on film as they would in person. It's weird. So he wanted to drop off a copy of the Worthington Literary Review. He was like, I was going to mail it to you, but I wanted to give it to you in person. And she's like, I didn't know it came out. And he's like, it hasn't. Turn to page 28. So she turns to the page and we see that it's her story titled The Kiss, which was the title of the season 2 opener, The Kiss. Because she kissed Dawson. Remember?
Yes, I remember. I'm right there with you.
So she's like really surprised. And she's like, oh my God, like I'm in the literary review. And he's like, it's well deserved, Joey. And she thanks him. And he says, thank yourself, Joey Potter. Any more chapters of that story? And she's like, life twisted and turned unexpectedly. He went his way, I went mine. And now if only the rules of writing apply to life. And he says, spoken like a published author. So then he gets up to leave and she's like, do you have any summer plans? And he's like, well, I'm going to try writing again. And she tells him that she's going back to Capeside. But this year felt like a great step forward. Going back feels kind of like 2 steps back, but there's something I got to do. And he's like, well, I hope to hear about it in the fall. She's like, you will. And she's like, thank you. Thank you, David. No, she doesn't even say that. But he goes, well, it's me who should say thanks for more than you could possibly imagine. And then she like jerks him off.
A little quickie before you go.
She's like, one for the road. No, they hug and then he leaves. But what did you think about what she said? Like, did you ever have that feeling about feeling like you progressed in life somehow, like you accomplished something and now you're going back to like your hometown that you wanted to get out? Like, not necessarily that situation, but the way she's feeling right now, like she feels like accomplished getting through this first year of college. And now she's going back because she wants to stay in that moment where she's like fulfilling things that she's trying to fulfill in her life, you know?
Maybe, but probably never really thought too hard about it. So like, for example, when I was in like my early 20s, I moved out, you know what I mean? We had our own place and then we were out for a couple of years. And then I got laid off and then had like a part-time job, but juggling and stuff. So we ended up not renewing our lease and moved back in with my mom. So I guess it was kind of like that. Like, we had accomplishments. I was on my own. Moved back in with my mom because I couldn't maintain that at that time. I mean, it didn't last. I didn't stay there that long. But I never really felt like...
It was a step
back. I mean, I probably could have, but I never really felt like I took a step back. It was more of just like
a hurdle.
Breather. Yeah. Like, I can't say that I ever really felt the way that Joey was feeling. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now, too, if I've ever had that.
Yeah, and I can't say that, but not really.
I feel like personally, and I hate to say it now because I don't want to jinx myself, but I feel like in my life, like I've always just continued to move forward and I never believed in going backwards.
Same.
Because I felt like if I did, it would be like something that I just like, I wouldn't get past it because I like, what's the point of going backwards when you're trying to move forward with things? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I even take that with like, relationships too.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Yeah,
you know what I mean, like if the relationship didn't work, it didn't work for a reason. There is no point in going back and trying again, at least not, you know what I mean? Like, I only went back once and the relationship lasted an extra 2 weeks. Yeah. If that, it was like a week or two and then I was like, this isn't working, and then that was it. Like, I'm like, I always kind of followed that belief. I gave in once to like see, oh well, maybe, and you know, it didn't work. So it's pretty much like, if it's over, it's over. And it's just time to keep moving. You know what I mean? If you keep getting stuck in the past, like, you're missing out on what's happening in the present that could ultimately adjust your future. So
exactly.
You just got to keep moving, man. Keep trucking. Just keep swimming.
I do think that Joey is being a little dramatic about it, though.
Probably.
I understand her mental state right now because she's so excited that she just made this accomplishment and she wants to stay in Boston, but you're allowed to take a break and go home. Like, she's from Cape Side. Like, it's not like, you know, she's living in like a hotel. Like, she's going to stay at her family home.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that part of her whole thing is a little dramatic, but no, I agree with you. I think we're on the same page with that one, Jamie.
Oh, good.
I always tell Justin, like, look, if we ever broke up, I probably wouldn't be friends with you. I mean, if we could maintain,
oh, you really can't. You know what I mean? Not at first, maybe later.
Yeah, but like, I wouldn't want to be around you or want to talk to you. I'd want to be
you
like,
you can't move on from somebody if they're still in your orbit. You know what I mean?
Right.
In my opinion, at least, anybody that's able to do that impresses me, because like, how can you move on if they're still there?
Yeah. He goes,
cut the cord, guys, cut that cord.
He goes, you would be able to talk. And I was like, I don't know, Justin. I don't know. I'm very like, I don't want to be around you if that happens.
I mean, it's just, how can you move on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because what happens when that other person, you know, your partner starts dating somebody else around you? I mean, depending on how you broke up or whatever, unless it was like a mutual agreement and you weren't that serious about it. But like, if you're together for a bit and then they don't work out,
Jamie,
and you break
up
and you're
up,
still around each other, and then the other person starts seeing somebody else and bringing that person around, like, you mean to tell me you wouldn't feel some kind of way? Why would you want to put yourself through that kind of pain?
We talked about this during the pandemic, and because we were fighting a lot during the pandemic, and I was like,
yeah.
if we broke up, Justin, like, I wouldn't want to be friends with our mutual friends. I was like, you could stay. You've known them longer.
You don't want to know, right? Like, I don't want to know. I'm just going to, like...
Yeah, like, what if we showed up to the same party and you had a date with you? I wouldn't want to see that. And,
like, and then you put your friends in an awkward position because it's like, well, how do I mediate between my two friends? Like, it's just, it's a very tricky situation for sure. I don't know.
It's weird. Anyway.
But you do you, boo.
Yeah. So now we're at Civilization and Alex walks into the kitchen and she's having a meeting with everybody. Pacey's late. She's like, you know, my time is important. But he walks in behind her and she kind of calls him out. And he's like, I was only 4 minutes late. How much could I have possibly missed? So she's like,
I think I can catch up.
Yeah. So she's like, we're having a very important luncheon tomorrow with investors between 1 and 4 because they're going to decide if we're going to open up another Civilization location in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
I was like, wow, I wonder if there was a Civilization in Philly.
Doubtful. Wouldn't it be funny if there was, though?
I know. I'm like, I should look and see if there's a Civilization. Because that's a real restaurant.
Is it? You should look it up. Let me know.
It was in Wilmington. I feel like it was. I may not be right about that. I feel like it was, though. I have to look it up.
So curious now.
I think it was. I really do think it was. No, it doesn't look like it was. No. Circa 19. No, that's not it. No, I wrote in Civilization, Wilmington, North Carolina restaurant. Nothing came up. No, I guess it was made up. My bad.
It sounds like it would be a good restaurant name, though.
Yeah. So Alex is like, the meal needs to go perfect because it's my ass, but it's your job. So she's like, I want to start off with the goose liver pate. And Pacey's like, well, that's not going to happen because all the geese flew south to the Bahamas for the winter. This is what I'm talking about. So she kind of laughs at him when he says that, right?
Yeah.
She's being so, like such an asshole right now in this moment because she's being so nasty to everybody. But she laughs at him.
He gets away with a lot in, like, a weird way. But I think she gave him that position, too, though. That position where he can kind of, because he's the connection to, you know what I mean? Like, he's the bridge between the cooks and her management. He's the bridge. So, like, if she makes a decision, like, he has that ability to pull her inside and be like, listen, you know, this is what's going to happen if you do this. It's not a good idea. I mean, ultimately, the decision's supposed to come down to her. But, like, I feel like he's kind of given that head position because he's the voice of everybody. And she gave it to him with good reason for whatever. So, like, I mean, he definitely has the position he deserves. I just, I had a thought and I kind of lost that thought. Was I saying making sense though? Yeah. I feel like he has that ability to kind of be like to approach her in that kind of way. Whether she listens is a whole other ball game. So she put him in that position so that he could do that for her, even if she doesn't want to listen. But she does kind of give him leeway where she's rude to everybody else, but she's still mean to him too. She ruined his relationship. So, like, I don't pity her.
I don't pity her. I just don't. I don't know. I don't get her. She was a weird character to bring on the show.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, do you have any suggestions? Remember Tamara said that in season 1. Why do you got any suggestions? Because he was the fucker.
I was asking him for his suggestions.
I know. Why, Pacey? Do you got any suggestions? He's like, yeah, my dick inside of you.
Oh my God.
So he, like, gives her this whole menu.
Right.
And she's like, it sounds great, by the way. Like, everything.
It does. It does. I mean, he has that position for a reason. You know what I mean? He knows what he's doing.
He learned a lot from Danny Brecker in the short time he was, you know, a cook.
He did. He took that information and he ran with it.
Yeah. He's a hustler.
Yeah.
He goes, but that's one idea. We could go another way if you prefer. And then she gets up really close to him. And she goes, I have a minute with you, please. And then they go into her office, which is literally like 2 feet away. And she's like, if you're going to behave like a toddler whenever you're around me and insist on testing my limits, you better be prepared to reap the whirlwind, because we will tangle ass and you will lose. I will make your life so unpleasant that you will rue the day that God created woman. Now, that's just one idea. We could go another way if you prefer. And she like walks away, but he's kind of like smiling at her like, you're a fucking idiot.
Whatever, like, lady.
I mean, he could get her on sexual harassment alone. And like the fact that she comes in acting like this total asshole all the time. It's like,
at this point, I don't know if he's got proof of that, though. It's going to be he said, she said.
Well, yeah, he did kind of give in to her. But she's just, I don't know. Maybe he just knows her game now. And he knows she's a little crazy. I don't know.
Probably.
He's kind of messing with her now. But now we cut to Dawson, and I guess they're like packing up for the end of the semester, the end of the school year now. It's almost like, it's weird. It's like they're all getting done school at the same time.
Yeah.
Which never happens. And he gets a call from that agent, Andrew Waller, and we see Oliver overhears this. So Waller is asking Dawson if he has any summer plans, and Dawson gets all excited and he goes, Oliver, I have no idea. So then he hangs up and Oliver's standing right next to him and he's like waiting for Dawson to explain, like tell
him. Spill the beans.
And Dawson's like, you were eavesdropping. And he's like, well, I heard my name. And he's like, I thought we weren't talking after what you pulled in New York. And Oliver says, yeah.
My bad. Now tell me everything.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. He's like, what did our agent say? And Dawson's like, you mean, he goes, our agent, the one I stuck around to get while you were too stubborn to admit that you were rude and just left. And Oliver's like, yeah, he goes, my bad. I felt bad the whole train ride home. I just can't handle these types of things. I'm working on it. And then he walks away. And then Dawson stops him and he goes, Oliver, what are you doing? You got any summer plans? And he's smiling like so wide. It's so funny. And he doesn't like explain what happens yet. He's not like talking about it. And he goes, well, it's gonna work at the Hooks at Video. Like a video store.
Always a video store.
And he goes, you might want to change those plans. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. That would have been a good opening.
That would have. Just take that clip and just move it. I don't know how hard that is. I'm just kidding.
So now we're with Jack and Jen. They're sitting outside at Boston Bay campus because you see all the green flags everywhere. And it's pretty windy out. And they're trying to figure out what they're going to do for the summer. And Jack is wearing the ugliest straight guy glasses I've ever seen in my life. Like, they're so... But glasses back then were kind of like that. I don't know.
That was the style, man.
I had a really nice pair from American Eagle, like at aviators.
Okay.
I looked really good in those. But the glasses Jack's wearing look like redneck glasses to me.
I'm like trying to remember exactly what they look like. I didn't even pay too much attention.
They're like really, really thin. Maybe I can show them. Usually on this one site that I go to get pictures, they have pictures of everything. No, he doesn't have a picture from that. He cut right past it.
You just type in Jack with glasses. Will that work? Jack from Dawson's Creek. Jack from Dawson's Creek with glasses.
No, I mean, it might come up. Usually I just type in the episode title and stuff will come up. The images. If I find them, I'll look for them for you. But I don't feel like pulling up the whole fucking...
You're fine. Right now. You are fine.
They were ugly glasses, Jamie.
I believe you.
So, he's like giving her all these suggestions and she keeps knocking them down. He's like, Fiji. And she goes, Fiji has skin cancer. And he goes, backpacking through Europe. And she goes, have you ever been to a youth hostel? And he goes, have you? And she goes, no, but I can only imagine the bathrooms. And she's just going on and on. She doesn't want to go to any of these places. And he goes, well, how about Cleveland? I hear they have a great Radisson. And she's like, I don't understand why we need to have some exotic adventure this summer. And he goes, you know why. Gramps has a more exciting life at 76 than we do at 19. We're waiting.
76?
Huh. Yeah. And Cliff, her boyfriend, 60.
Go Gramps.
We're way too young to be getting lazy about our lives. I didn't think she was 76. I thought she was way younger than 76 because she's in her 80s then by the time Jen dies, which is, you know, it's not abnormal, but at the same time, it's like, I thought she'd be in at least her like mid-60s.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know.
I guess I don't know. I would have thought she would have been, yeah, not 70s.
Who knows? They probably just came up with that stupid number. They don't even know.
They're like, yeah, that sounds about right. But even though, like, Graham's generation, they got married young and had babies young. That was, like, the thing, right? Like, these people got married right out of high school.
They got married, had kids.
Right.
Went to church, got a house on the Cape. Anyway, so Jen's like, I always hated summer camp, and this sounds suspiciously like that, except longer and much farther away. She's like, if I have to do this, there's nobody I'd rather do this with than you. And he's like, right back at you, freak. And she goes, tell me more about this Cleveland. So now Joey and Audrey are getting the last of their boxes out of their dorm, and we see that the whole dorm is empty. It's huge. And she just takes one last look at their empty dorm. She looks in the closet.
Goodbye, memories. Goodbye.
She turns off the light. Yeah. And she's like, goodbye, dorm. I'm like, where do they live next season? Like, aren't they in the same dorm?
No, I don't think that they're in the dorm. Like, Joey starts working at a bar. Pacey gets that other job. He grows like a beard. Somebody lives in an apartment.
So Joey and Audrey aren't roommates anymore next season?
I don't remember. No.
Well, we'll know soon enough.
Wait. Did Joey and Dawson do it yet?
No.
Then they are back in the dorm. They'll be back in the dorm. The timetable gets a little weird at one point. It gets a little confusing.
I remember when we went to do extra work and we did the set visit. We were in that dorm. That set.
The dorm?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Has to be the same dorm.
No, they do. They go in there. I think they do end up in the same dorm again.
It's very small too. It looks huge, but it's really small. So is Dawson's room. His room is really tiny.
I believe it.
So yeah, she like is taking it all in and then she leaves. She's like, bye. Gotta go. Never got laid in this room ever.
That'll change.
Right. Yeah, you literally just said it.
That'll change.
All right, so now we're back at the restaurant. Alex is on a rampage about this lunch, and she's like, the investors are arriving in an hour. And
where's the food?
No, we're not there yet.
On this fork?
Yeah.
Hey, crazy. It's probably just not polished. It's probably from the dishwasher. Just a little bit of, you know, spritz. Just clean it. It's all right.
Oh my gosh, she was so nasty to this girl.
Oh my god, I know.
She's like, when you're done getting wait, no, she says something to her about like getting an appointment to check and see if she's sick or something, because she says it's like her snot on it.
She thought that she sneezed on it or something. She's like, do you have allergies or something? And she's like, I don't think so. Maybe. Well, you know, go get an appointment, get that checked out, and then when you're done, don't come back or some shit like that. Like,
so she goes, and then effective after the luncheon, you're fired. I was like, what?
Yeah.
After the luncheon, she just fired her on the spot. I've been like, fuck you. But Maria, poor Maria, begs for her job, and Pacey's begging for
her job. She didn't even beg for her job. She just was like, what? And then Pacey's like, wait.
No, she was like, she's like, you can't do that. I need my job.
Yeah.
And she's like, ugh. And then Pacey's just like, you can't do that. Maria has like three kids and she's working three jobs and she's a single mother and you can't fire her. And Alex is like, I'm really sorry. I hope that you find a job after this. She's such a twat.
Yeah. She's a bitch, man.
Oh my God, Jamie, I would have picked up all of that silverware and dumped it all over the floor and been like, clean it up yourself, bitch. Like,
probably. Yeah.
Oh my God. She was so nasty. And then she tells the other guy, the other cook, that I don't know what his name is. I want to call him Roger for some reason. She tells him that he's a stupid little man and she still hates him. I was like, you're making enemies with everybody, you bitch. Like, just be nice to people.
Yeah. She's not nice. I get it when people are super stressed out, and when they get stressed out, they need things to be in order, on time, down to the T. Like, I get that. But there is still no reason for you to just be a complete asshole.
Nope.
to your team.
It's messed
nah.
up.
Yeah.
It's very weird that you get more bees with honey. Isn't that the thing?
Right.
And there's a way to delegate things, like as a good leader. Like, I've worked with a lot of shitty managers, and I've worked with like some pretty decent managers. And, you know, working in customer service, I worked with one who was a fucking nasty ass cunt, and I couldn't stand her. But when she liked me, she liked me. But there were times where I was just like, I hate you so much. Like, you're nasty. And she can rot in hell.
Exactly.
Oh my God, I remember I called HR on her because she brought up about how I was gay in the workplace. She made a comment about how I was going to, I never talked to anybody in that place about my sex life or who I was dating. Like,
all right, it's nobody's business.
And my friend Sarah brought it up to me, and she was like, so and so was talking about you going to your boyfriend's. That's why you were late. I said, what? I was like, I don't talk to her like that. I was like, what is she talking about? And I got so mad. I called HR, and they came in. I had a meeting with them, and I said, I don't know what she's talking about. It's none of her business. And if she's talking about my personal life when she knows nothing about it, then I have a problem with that. And she came to me after that, and she was like, I didn't talk to anybody about your personal life. I don't know anything about you. And I was like, well, then why'd you say it? I was like, someone told me you said it. And I believe that person because they worked so close to her. She totally denied it. And I was just like, whatever. I don't trust you. You're a nasty fucking cunt. I still hate her to this day. And we were like Facebook friends. And somehow she like told my boss. So she wasn't my boss anymore. She moved to another store, right?
Okay.
So I complained on my Facebook that I had to work late on a holiday. And she must have been my friend at that time on Facebook. So she went and she told my boss what I said on Facebook. And my current boss at the time brought it up to me. And I remember being like,
I would have been like, yeah, so.
I did. I was like, well, that's none of your business. I was like, are you my Facebook friend? This is what I said to my current boss. I was like, are you my Facebook friend? And she didn't even have Facebook. And I go, well, then why do you care what I wrote? I said, that's my personal business.
Yeah.
And I said, if I want to write that, I can write that. It has nothing to do with, like, I said, am I coming to work? Yeah, I'm coming to work, but I don't have to be happy about it. Like, what are you going to do?
Right. I'm allowed to have an opinion. Okay. It's a holiday. I'm still going to be here. Doesn't mean I have to be happy about it.
Exactly. And then after that, I deleted all these people off my Facebook. I was like, fuck all these people.
Bye, Felicia.
Yep. All right, so now we're back in Capeside, and we see Dawson standing a boat. I think it's a boat. And Audrey and Joey show up, and Audrey's like, this place is gorgeous. And she's like, where is it? The room. The scene for so many long nights of teen romance and angst.
It made me laugh when she said that.
Yeah, she just came out with it. It was hilarious. He's like, it's upstairs, last door on your left. You can't miss it. She goes, damn right, I can't miss it. She's like off to go see his bedroom. And Dawson and Joey start to say something at the same time. He says, guess what? And she goes, can I ask you for a favor? And he's like, you go first. So she's like, can you hang out with Audrey for a little bit? I have to go do something. And he's like, what do you have to do? And she's like, I'm going to go see my dad. She's like, ever since that night I got mugged, I just have stuff I want to ask him about and you know, close that chapter of my life. And he's like, do you want me to go with you? And she goes, no, I think I should do this one alone. And he's like, all right, well, good luck. And she leaves, but she doesn't ask him what he was gonna say.
Yeah, she wasn't that curious. She's still distracted by like going to see her dad. I get it.
I was like, whatever, selfish.
She probably has this thing like completely worked up in her mind. You know what I mean? Like, because she hasn't seen him since he got arrested, and she blames herself for his arrest because, you know, she did this. She
masterminded
the operation, you know?
When she brought that up later in the episode, I was like, oh, yeah, I totally forgot. She sent him to jail.
She was probably very distracted. Like, I don't think that she was really in the right mental space to, like,
care. News.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that she was going to see her dad in this episode. She does. But she got there in quality time, though, because remember in the first season, it took them like 3 hours to get there.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. She definitely did. And then I forgot that the one time that she went, Dawson went with her, because the only time that I can really remember is the time that Pacey took her.
Yeah.
So that's all I remember.
Well, it was the same episode.
Hmm.
Dawson took her the first time and she got upset and she left. They were talking in the the room.
Yeah.
And he upset her and she left. And then he talks to Dawson and he's like, I love your daughter. And he's like, just stay with her, Dawson, with his sad eyes. And then she goes back to talk to him because she didn't really tell him what she wanted to tell him. And she's like, I'm 15 years old and I feel like I'm the loneliest person in the whole world. Like, I don't have anybody. And, you know, that's when they're talking between the fence.
Lies, you have all that. Well, no, because the one time that Pacey took her, she couldn't even get in.
Yeah, that's when, remember, the guard brought him out and they talked.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, that's right. You're right. I just remember her being like, and then Pacey's like trying to slip him like a $5 bill. Some shit.
A $5 bill. No, he does. That's how he gets to, that's how he gets the guard to bring him.
Like, he's like, will a $5 do it? $5 get her in the door. Listen, this is what I can do for you.
$5. So now we cut to Grams and she's sitting at her table. She's like spooning her tea, just sitting there silently until this mess comes in. And so they're all excited. And Jen's like, the unthinkable has happened. The sky must indeed be falling. And Jack's like, we've been at the library for the last 4 hours playing on the internet and decided that we're going to go to Costa Rica for 2 months. And Grams is like, y'all kidding?
Costa Rica.
And Jack's like,
to another country.
Where is Costa Rica?
Listen, geography is not my strong point.
I know,
here.
I don't know either. All right, let's.
That was South America, probably.
Yeah, that sounds right. South America.
Probably South America. You don't say.
So Jack's like, we decided if we're going to have an adventure, you might as well go for broke and really have an adventure. And Grimes is like, well, I'm speechless. And Jen says, you know, it might be a huge mistake and absolutely horrible, but no matter what, from this point on, when somebody mentions Costa Rica in casual conversation, we'll be able to say, ah, good old Costa. I spent some time there. And Jack's like, nobody talks about Costa Rica like that in casual conversation.
Yeah, nobody brings it up in casual conversation.
And she's like, hey, don't kill my buzz.
I'm excited right now. We just booked a trip and we're gonna leave.
Yeah, they're like, they're
hopefully they've got their like passports.
They just
nobody mentioned a passport.
They just did like a speedball. That's why they're so hyped. So Grams is like, oh, well, I'm afraid your buzz may be doomed already. And Jen goes, poor Kay. And she's like, I just got off the phone with Howard. What are her parents' name? Howard and Theodore and something else with your parents.
No.
Helen. Helen and Theodore.
Helen and, yeah, weird names.
And Alvin and Simon. And the Chipettes.
Basically. And, I'm like, what interesting rich people names, I guess. Theodore and, well, not so much Helen. Helen is, I guess, pretty normal.
Isn't Helen one of the Chipettes' names? Or is it?
I don't know. I don't know the Chipette names.
I think it's Ellen. So is this the fat one? Theodore's. Oh my God, it is. Theodore's the fat one.
Oh yeah, Theodore's the fat one. Yeah.
Ellen is the fat Chipette. But her name's Ellen.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Maybe they were looking at the chipmunks and said, we'll take the two fat ones.
Yeah. Wait, I gotta find out now. What are the Chipettes' names? Okay. Brittany, Jeanette, Eleanor. Eleanor. Okay, well, that's Eleanor. Close.
Okay.
Oh, my bad. Close. So she's like, they bought a house in East Hampton where you were summer when you were a child, and they want you to spend the summer with them. And then Jack puts his head down like he's so disappointed. And Jen's like, well, I guess the sky's falling. So she's like, great. Now I have to go spend my summer vacation with them. But we'll come back to that. Now we're at the luncheon where Alex is like snapping her fingers. She's like, and now here's to a beautiful, distinguished lunch for you investors. And she snaps her fingers and nobody comes out. So she goes out. She goes back to the kitchen and there's nobody in there except for the guy she told she hated because he's stupid, Maria, who she fired, and like just random people like just walking around.
Yeah, Pacey's not even there.
No, he's not there yet. So she's like, what the fuck is happening back here? And she's like, where's all the food? And the guy's like, well, Pacey took it all to a homeless shelter. And he's like drinking like coffee. Like he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, they're all just lounging. Whatever.
And what's her face breathes on the spoon or something?
She sneezes on it.
Oh, is that what
she does? Goes achoo! And puts it and like throws it back in the bin.
That's what she does. So yeah, that was funny. I like that she did that. Almost as good as what I would do, but still, because she just contaminated the mono.
Oh yeah, she contaminated the whole thing.
So Pacey comes back with pizzas for everybody and he brings them out and he says, this is a coup d'etat. And he starts reading off what everybody wants him to say. And he says, Alex is a terrible person and she's made working with her impossible because she's a hostile and vindictive person. And he starts handing out pizza because they're like, no food. The guy's like, no food. And Pacey's like, oh no, you're all getting pizza. And he just hands out pizza boxes to every single person.
I mean, at least he brought them that.
I know. He was like, well, we did all that work. Let's just bring them pizza.
I mean, it's not the dude's fault, I guess. I mean, they hired her, but they didn't know what they were getting into and they did it. So they're like, we can't just not feed them, but they're not getting our food.
That's when Alex is standing at the front of them and he's like, she's like, he's obsessed with me. He's one of our worst, you know, employees. And he's like, I knew you'd try to say that to save yourself. And she's
put
like,
put Mariah Carey song out then, because I probably would have started singing. That would have really made myself look crazy. I'm like, why are you so obsessed with me? Boy, yeah. I wanna know. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you not referring to Mariah Carey?
No.
My bad.
So she tries to save herself again by saying that the rest of the staff doesn't feel the same way that Pacey does.
She's such an idiot, dude. She is not bright.
I know. Like, they're all going to go against you, dummy. Like, what are you talking about? So the guy that she called stupid earlier is like, oh, no, we all feel that way. We hate you.
Like, yeah.
You're a dumb bitch.
No. We definitely stand by this. We 100% extremely agree with this.
Yes, you are very.
This is all us, and we're not afraid to own up to that.
He's like, no, it is indicative of how we feel, because she says it's not
very indicative, super indicative, extremely indicative.
So she fires Pacey, and he's still like handing out pizza to his employees now. It's all the workers, and he's like, yeah, I knew that was coming. Reap the whirlwind, baby. And he's like, gotta go. So Alex is left standing there, sort of like, fucked.
Mm-hmm.
This is when Joey gets to the prison and she finds out her dad was released 4 months ago. He was paroled on good behavior. And she's like, why didn't he call me? What did I do that? What are we going to do? Like, how do I get in touch with him? And she's like,
I'm family. Why wasn't I made aware?
And he's like, well, it's up to him to decide. And she's like, is there a parole officer I can talk to? And he literally just goes like this, just shakes his head no. And she's like so upset. And he goes, she's like, he's my dad. I'm her daughter. I'm his daughter.
She didn't even say daughter. She's like, he's my dad. Like, she couldn't say daughter. Do you notice that?
No.
She didn't say, I had the subtitles on and it literally was like, he's my dad.
Oh.
She didn't finish the sentence. Gotcha. Like, she couldn't spit it out.
Well, she's upset, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they have a lot of issues.
Well, the guard's like, look, I knew your dad. He is making a living at the Five and Dime up at Centerville right now, but you didn't hear it from me. She's like, all right, thanks. She like leaves. She didn't even have to give him $5 to get out of him.
This one didn't need a bribe.
No, he felt bad.
Yeah.
He's like, God, what am I going to do with a crying woman? I got to like give her some information. She's going to make hunting. A scene.
Happy hunting.
Good luck finding Mike Potter. So we cut to Dawson and Audrey walking in town, and he's telling her this story about Pacey and how he was so determined to kiss Christy Livingstone when he was 13. He's like, he was so determined. We came out of a movie and he said, I'm going to kiss her in, it's going to be pouring down rain and we're going to make out or something like that. And Audrey's like, well, did he? And Dawson goes, not even close. But I would bet he hasn't let go of his silly romantic fantasies. She says, great, now I'm never going to move on. Wait, no, he says, I must have not put it in here, but it's so funny. He goes, nope, he didn't. Not in any kind of weather. Like, but he did dance with her at the school dance.
He did.
Because she thought he had a heart thing.
Yeah, what did they call it? It was a heart stripe or something.
Heart stripe, yeah. Andy told her he had a heart stripe.
A heart stripe. That's right.
She's like, Andy told me about your heart stripe, and I wouldn't be able to go out with you because that might kill you.
What the fuck is a heart stripe? She was making shit up and she was gullible enough to believe it. Which was probably Andy's point. Like, why do you want to date her? She's stupid.
That was our point. I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was funny. I remember that episode too. She was like cracking up at him. She was like, you wanted to go out with somebody who believed that you had a heart stripe.
It was funny. Oh, and I miss Andy.
That was classic Andy. Like, that was her season two was amazing. God.
Yeah. I loved when she came in, dude. She gave Pacey a run for his money, man.
Yeah, she did. So Dawson says that. Anyway, he tells Audrey that he thinks he's going to go to LA because the producer wants to work with him and Oliver. And she's all excited. She's like, I know this is about you, but can we make this about me for 1 second? Because I'm not going to have to be out there all alone now. I'm saved. And she hugs him. And he's like, well, I may need a place to stay for a while. And she goes, well, you're staying with me, obviously. Like, there's no question about it. And she's like, did you tell Joey? Like, why'd you tell me? Did you tell Joey? And he doesn't say anything. Because we cut to Jen dancing to loud music in the living room. And this is where they cut out that song, which really bothered me. And Jack comes in and he catches her and he turns the music down. And she kind of like stops because she's a little embarrassed. He's like, what are you doing? And she says, whenever the subject of my parents come up, I have this annoying habit of falling apart. And I'm just trying not to do that. And it's really hard right now. And Jack says that he's going to try and go get a refund on their tickets. And she's like, no, Jack, don't do that. I don't even want to spend the summer with my parents. So I don't even know what we're doing yet. And he's like, look, we have time to figure this out. But this phone call has been 5 years coming and you should like see it through. And she says, why should my life start and stop at their convenience? And she's like, I feel like I'm doing really well right now. And if I dive back into that whole mess, I don't know what's going to happen. I want more time to think about it. And he's like, well, how much more time? Because he's like, Costa Rica might still be on our plates.
Costa Rica.
She says, well, maybe if you would let me get back to what I was doing before you interrupted me, I could figure that out. And he's like, sure, figure away. And he turns off the music again. And then she starts jumping up and down on her chair again in her mansion.
Yeah, that house is huge. Every time you see like a panned out version of that house, I'm blown away that they could afford it.
I know. She's like, I don't know how I'm going to afford your college, but I do have money to buy a mansion in Boston, a Boston brownstone.
Right. This beautiful row home or whatever they call them, townhome. I guess it's technically a townhome, but it looks like a row home. Like,
yeah,
it's giant row home.
It's nice.
It's a row of homes, but they're big inside, apparently.
I know.
And you know what's weird about it?
That kind of house.
You know how they're outside and it looks like they've got houses on either side of them? But did you ever notice that the back door is on the side? So it's like in this on the side of the kitchen instead of the back of the kitchen. Like you got the front door.
Oh my God.
The dining room, the kitchen. You would think that it'd be at the back door, but no, it's on the side. So maybe there's like a cutout right here, and then there's a door that leads to I don't know where it leads. Is there like an alley there? Like a I don't
they I'm fucking confused. Backyard.
They don't have a corner, okay? They don't have a corner thing. Where are they going in the backyard though? If they go through the backyard, they can't get to the front. So are they going through the back? Is there like a side street?
Maybe
like,
they need to have it as an exit.
I've got questions that I'm never gonna have answered. Okay, I've accepted this, but I'm still going to pose those questions.
Look, Craig even said to us, if we have any questions about the houses, then we're not watching the show. So is that what he said? Something like that?
Yeah, but when we've already seen the show and we're breaking down the show, it only makes sense the second, third, fourth time we start noticing other things, not necessarily what's going on, but the shit going on around them. So that doesn't count for us. Yeah, that doesn't count.
I don't know if we'll ever get blueprints of Grams's mansion, but
I know.
No, I'm still waiting on the blueprints of Dawson's house and the B&B or whatever. Or no,
somebody recreate them and send them, please. Do we have any friends that like to like build models and do stuff on their computers where they can do this shit? Because like, somebody make it. I need peace of mind.
You know,
help us out
before we're finished this show. Can somebody send it to us? We only have one more season left.
No time like the present, guys.
Seriously. So now we cut to Pacey, and he's waiting outside for Alex. And she's like, I thought the reap the whirlwind line was a clever button on our relationship. I'm surprised you want to step on it. And he's like, well, I'm not here to gloat. And then he's like, forget it. And then she's like, why'd you come back, Pacey? I'm trying to talk like her because she has a weird accent. Why'd you come back, Pacey? And he says, because sometimes I let things go and I just end up wondering about them. And it occurred to me that if I let this go, I would probably end up wondering about it for the rest of my life. And she goes, what do you want to know?
Tell me all about it, because I'm still not going to tell you.
Yeah, he's like, what happened to you? Because people just aren't born mean. She goes, are you here to save me, Pacey? That's kind of how she talks. Are you here to save me, Pacey?
You're unsalvageable, lady. I just want to know why you're just a bitch.
Why you're rotten to the core. And he says, no, I'm just curious. And she says, I have to believe that in the end, people get exactly what they ask for. You prove that today. And she's like, I'll see you around. And she leaves. So then he goes to start his car to leave, and it won't start. So she pulls up and she's like, do you need a lift, Pacey? And he's like, I'd rather wait for the prison transfer bus. She's like, just get in. I'll drive you to your apartment. What are you going to do? Walk? It's cold outside. And she's like, just get in. Just get in. And he's like,
get in so I can kill us both.
I know. Get in so I can vehicular manslaughter us.
Jeez.
So he gets in.
I'm feeling a little crazy today.
So he gets in and they drive off. Seemed like a normal interaction. Like, you know.
Right.
So now we're at the Potter B&B and Bessie's there. Oh, Bessie. Were you happy to see Bessie?
It was nice to see Bessie. But I mean, like, I didn't like go crazy about it. Honestly, she's not in them as often that I don't really think about her. Kind of like one of those things. Sorry, Bess.
Sorry, Bess.
At this point, you know, I'm focused on the main cast, and she's not really a main cast anymore like that.
I know. Poor Bessie.
It was nice to see the B&B, though. I was happy to see the B&B. I guess with the B&B comes Bess. I don't know.
I guess.
I guess so. My bad.
So Joey's upset because she's like, I don't know why he hasn't called us. And Bessie's like, he has his reasons, sis. Because we have to let everybody... No, she doesn't even say that. We have to let everybody know that they're sisters.
Right, if we didn't know that already.
Or she goes, the way I see it, he's probably just trying to rebuild his life. He's not too good at that, Joe. And Joey's like, we should be helping him because we're his family. And Bessie's like, which is exactly why you shouldn't be so quick to judge. Just give him time. And Joey's like, my dad hates me for sending him to jail because I sent him to jail. And Audrey's like, if anything, he's probably ashamed to face you. Your sister's right, Joey. Like, calm the fuck down.
Preach, man. You're making sense, lady. You're making a lot of sense, lady.
So she's like, Audrey, I'm glad you're here. Did you have fun with Dawson today? And she's like, yeah, he's the best. That boy is a gem. And she goes, oh, yeah?
Tell me about it.
It was the most natural reaction and conversation. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
They really just seemed like they were just talking to each other. And Audrey says, you know, he would do anything for you, Joey. And she goes, yeah, he's pretty cool that way. Joey's like, you know, the last time I went to see my dad in jail, he went with me. It was like he knew I wanted him there without me even having to ask. That was a long time ago. And Audrey goes, yeah, right. Like anything changed. He drove all the way to Florida from New York just to see you like 3 weeks ago, for God's sakes. Joey's like,
what?
He did? And she's like, oh, me and my big mouth.
I meant to tell you that weeks ago, but I had to find an opening where I could spill the beans without being so obvious about it.
How did nobody tell her, or how did he not go find her?
I don't think that anybody else saw him but Audrey.
Pacey saw him.
Oh yeah, Pacey. Well, Pacey,
so Pacey had to tell Audrey then.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. She's the only one he told then.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, oh, me and my big mouth. So now this is when Alex and Pacey are driving together, and he's like, what's next for you, Alex? She's like, probably look for a new job, not in food service, because quotes like complete incompetence tend to follow you around the business. So she starts going on this rant, and he's like, I'm not going to feel sorry for you, Alex. And she keeps going and going and going. And then he notices that she's just speeding up, and he's like, slow down, Alex. You're like driving too fast. But she totally ignores him, and she just keeps ranting. And she's like, I'm going to be an overweight homeless woman who has cats everywhere in my hair, in my belly, and in my crevices, in my vagina, everywhere. And he's like, what are you doing? So she almost hits another car because she goes into the opposite lane to oncoming traffic, and she almost hits that car. And she even goes, ah. She got like some kind of like weird thing out of it.
She's weird, dude. I don't know what she was trying to pull, but dangerous is what that was.
She goes, or maybe I'll be fatalistic and it could go another way. My life is over. He's like, no, it's not over. So she keeps speeding up, and she's like up to 80. And she's like, I feel liberated and terrified. Actually, I've never felt more alive in my whole life. And he's like, Alex, this isn't funny anymore. And he goes to put his seatbelt on. Like, he finally puts his seatbelt on.
Yeah, he should have had that on a long time ago, dude.
I know.
Like, so as soon as you got in the car.
She's like, let's see how this car takes sharp turns or sharp lefts or something.
Let's see how this baby handles.
Yeah.
Don't do this at home, kids.
Don't see how this baby handles this. So... she does. She like turns the corner and I don't know. She stops because the car just like, no, that's not when it happened. She just turns the corner and she's like, my life is over. And she's like, I'm a little disappointed in you. I thought that you were shockproof and untouchable. So now he's sort of like playing along with her because he's like getting nervous. And he's like, yeah, maybe you're right. I just got fired. I lost my girlfriend. I have no place to live. Maybe you're onto something here, because the more you think about it, my life is over too. Let's actually go ahead and push this. I want you to drive this car like you really mean it. And then he like gets in front of her and he's like, I really want to kiss your neck right now while you're driving.
Should I kiss your neck? Should I kiss other places? Like, he goes all out on it. He's like really trying to make her. She's like, wait, I don't actually want to kill us. Like, I can't see Pixie, you know? And then somebody pulls out in front of her and, oh my God, dude. I'm like, that's a dangerous game that they were playing.
I know. Yeah, he was like blocking her whole view. And then she like almost hits the car that's backing out. And then she like turns and she's like in a residential now. And she finally like stops and he gets out of the car first.
Did you see their facial expressions? Like, he's like, yeah. And she's like, focused, don't kill us, don't lose control of the car, like, oh my God,
don't do this.
I didn't mean to go that crazy.
So he gets out of the car and then he opens up her door and she gets out too, and he just kind of sits on the curb.
Dude, I don't know how he would have been so spot. As soon as I got out of the car in a safety, I'm like, you crazy bitch, why are you not on your medication? If you're not medicated, you should be medicated.
She's like, I'm alive. So now we're in Dawson's room and Joey shows up. Not in the window though, right? Did she climb through the window?
I don't think so.
No,
I
she came through the door.
I think she just came through the door. I don't think that the ladder is there anymore.
I don't think so either.
She got taken down a while ago.
He asks about her dad and she tells him everything. And he's like, well, that's a shock, but understandable. She's like, how so? And he says, because the last time he got out, he came back and made everything a disaster. Maybe he decided he didn't want to do the same thing this time. She's like, can we talk about something else? And she's like, Audrey indicated that maybe you had something to tell me. And he goes, well, yeah, but maybe now's not the best time. And she goes, no, tell me. Just tell me. And
tell me more. Tell me more. Like, did he have a car? Uh-huh. Sorry.
That's your ADD.
My bad.
If I could compile all the audio every time you break into song, I think we could have like a fucking 12 CD set of music. But it's literally just the same songs on repeat.
My bad, man. I know. I can't help it. It's just words remind me of the songs. And
you go, my bad, man.
My bad. Sorry.
My bad, man.
Gomena sai.
That too. So he tells her about how he and Oliver are going to be flown to LA to work with a producer. And she's like, oh my God, that's amazing. And she's like, but, you know, that's not what she thought he was going to say. But she plays it off and she's like, I'm just so happy for you that I just can't maintain a complete thought. I'm just overwhelmed. And he says, you're the person I wanted to share this with the most, Joey. And she's like, pressure? I may say all the wrong things.
He wanted to share with her the most, but he waited to tell her.
I know. Like, their relationship is so fucking weird. All like, if he was that close to her and he wanted to share this much information with her because they've known each other for so long and they're best friends, blah, 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 he would have been on the phone with her as soon as he found out this information. But
yeah, he would have found a way to get a hold of her. She has a cell phone. We know she does.
Yeah, she jogs with it in her shorts.
Whatever, man.
No, he would have found out a way to just tell her before making it into this whole thing where he was like, it's not the right time to tell you, like, but I should tell you. Just fucking tell her, you know?
Right.
So he's like, are you kidding? You've already said all the right things. And they just like smile at each other. So now Alex and Pacey are sitting on the curb together. She's like, clearly I've got problems. And he's like, well, we've all got problems. And she's like, you saved my life. She's like,
I don't know. Trying to kill him.
I know.
You saved both of our lives because I really was trying to end it.
I was trying to end it for us, Pacey. She's like, I don't know why I'm the way I am. Do you know why you're so good? And he says, you can't go through your entire life feeling sorry for yourself, no matter what's happened to you. Also, it's never too late to try and make things right. She says, you know what the saddest part is? And he goes, that you totally messed up your Porsche. She's like, it's a rental. And she goes, I really do like you. And then he's like, oh, Alex, here.
That ship sailed.
I know. And then she puts her head on his chest and they just like console one another because they just survived this terrible drive through Boston by the worst driver in the world.
Jeez. They survived this crazy bitch's psycho attack.
He's like, all right, Alex, I think it's time to bid adieu because you're crazy.
Adieu. I got no time for psychos. Go get your medication readjusted and maybe stay out of the kitchen.
Readjusted.
Because I don't think you can handle the pressure.
And stop sexually assault or sexually harassing people in the kitchen.
Leave people alone. Let them have their relationships.
Yeah, you've ruined his relationship with a perfectly good girl. Like, give me a break. So now we cut to Jen, who just got off the phone with her parents. Jack's waiting on the couch to hear all the news. And she's like, I told them that I appreciated their invitation for the summer, but I made other plans. She says, they sort of sound relieved. She's like, did I do the right thing? He says, I can't tell you if I believe you did the right thing, Jen, because I'd be lying. And then Grams comes in and she's like, what did I miss? They tell Grams their summer plans and they ask her what they should do. And Grams says, well, your parents haven't been very generous with you. In fact, they've been very cheap. I don't think this invitation absolved them of that. And Jack goes to say something and she goes, I'm not finished. Will you be quiet?
Stop interrupting me, you rude boy.
You homosexual, please.
Oh my God.
She goes, the relationship between Jen and her parents is way more complicated than you and I could ever imagine. It may well be unsalvageable. There's only one person here who truly knows what's worthwhile here and what's not. If your parents have truly found a way to love you, this won't be their last opportunity to prove it. And then they all like hug each other on the couch.
Well said, Grams.
Yep. Now, if they can afford a house in the Hamptons, they can afford their daughter's college tuition. That's the most unrealistic thing about this show that I just don't understand, why her parents aren't paying for her college. And
they kind of like cut her off, though. So, I mean, I don't know.
They cut her off, but they sent her away.
Yeah. So I know.
It
I don't know.
Makes no sense. It makes no sense.
I don't, dude, rich people problems. I don't know. Rich people problems. Mean,
if I was Grams and Helen was my kid, I'd be like, you bought what? And you haven't given me a dime for tuition for your own daughter?
Dude, she should just take her to court.
I know. She should sue her daughter.
Dude, people do that shit, man. Their siblings, whatever. Judy. You dumped your child on me and provided no provisions. I'm paying for everything. Their health insurance.
Everything.
This, that. You must pay for something.
Yeah, and Graham's dealt with a lot of shit with Jen through the years, you know?
Right, right.
All right, so now we cut to Dawson, and he has a scene at his father's grave. And he's like, I have a lot to tell you. I lost my virginity to Jen, which is, can you believe it? To Jen, of all people. And Mitch's head just appears, and he's like, Dawson, I'm so proud of you.
I wasn't expecting Jen, though.
I know. And he's like, I made a movie with a strange guy. I got an agent. Now a producer wants to work with me, so I can use that plane ticket that you got me. But what I really want to do is talk about Joey Potter. And then Mitch just crawls back into his grave because he's like, I can't hear about this anymore. You've been talking about Joey Potter your whole entire life.
You know what I thought was weird? I get to use that plane ticket you got me. Was this like an open-ended plane ticket? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. You buy a plane ticket, it's for a specific date and time and like carrier. Like, I don't understand this. Oh, I never use this plane ticket, but it's still valid. Like, I don't, is this like a certificate?
I guess
plane ticket, you just say, and I need this flight and it's paid for. Like, I don't understand.
I guess they gave it to him as like a, you can use this for like a one, like you don't like want a
certificate
refund
or something to the airport to
he never got a refund on it, so he just, they decided that if he ever wants to use it in the future, he can just use it whenever. But why does he have to use his plane ticket? Why aren't, I thought he said they're flying him and Oliver out.
I don't know. I'm so confused.
Yeah, they could have left that line out.
Yeah, they definitely could have done without it because it actually confused me.
it didn't make sense to me either.
Wait, what?
I know, you over here, the flying connoisseur.
I've flown a lot this past year. Yeah.
You went from never flying in your life to suddenly flying every goddamn month.
Basically, yeah.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
Where are you? Oh, I'm on a plane again.
I don't know how many times I said to you, safe travels. Have a safe flight.
Have a safe flight. It was fun though. Got that out of my system.
I mean, you can still fly.
Oh yeah, no, I know. Well, when I come back and visit home, yeah.
You're like, flying's over.
I'm not like, look, like, you know, super crazy about getting back on the plane right this minute. I'm still paying off like the move, so it'll happen. It's just not happening right now.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, are you gonna like go home for Christmas or are you staying there?
I'm staying here. I'm still paying stuff off, and I was looking at the flights, and they're kind of like expensive right this minute, so.
You should tell your mom to come see you.
I tried that. I think she's coming, like, she's going to come. She said in the new year.
Oh, okay.
So.
Maybe I'll try to come to Vegas in the new year and come visit.
Come visit.
All right. So he's like, is it okay to think that after everything that's happened, to believe that something perfect is possible? And he's like, I want to be with her. I love her. Then he gets upset and he like rubs his eyes because he's like tearing up a little bit. And he's like, I'll talk to you later, Dad. Don't go anywhere. So we cut to Joey, and she pulled up at the Five and Dime in Centerville with her literary review, and she starts walking towards the store to go see Mike Potter. And we get the end credits.
I don't want to wait.
Next episode is the season 5 finale titled Swan Song.
Can you believe it, dude? We have one season left after this.
Jamie, I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy shit, we're almost done.
It's crazy.
I know. It's going to go fast. I mean, we did this really fast. I feel like we just started season 5, but, you know, the only break we took was during the summer, really. I don't feel like
yeah.
I have to look through my calendar, but I don't feel like we took a lot of time off this year.
We really didn't. Just like when you moved and when I
Season,
moved.
this season.
Yeah. Just when we were like moving and shit.
Yeah.
Those yeah. couple of times.
Oh no, we took like a month or two off, I feel
yeah.
like.
We did. We took a decent break because like I think I moved and then you moved and then I moved again and it was a lot of moving.
Yeah. It's a lot. Final thoughts, Jamie, on this episode?
I liked it. I did like it. They're wrapping up the season, which is cool. I have no idea what the next episode is going to be like, but I think my favorite part was probably the crazy driving scene. That crazy bitch.
I know the next episode, they're all at the airport, like figuring out what they're doing for summer. I guess like Dawson's going to LA, that Jen and Jack are going to Costa Rica.
Right.
Whatever. But yeah, that's all I remember. They're at the airport. But I really liked this episode. It was really easy to watch. I got through it very quickly. It gave me vibes of end of school semester, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but it did.
I don't know. I feel like they're wrapping things up pretty nicely. So the Alex stuff I could do without. I don't know. They were like, what else can we do with Pacey?
I think the reason why they did that is because they're transitioning Pacey out of the kitchen. He's yeah. going to do this other thing. So,
which is kind of sad because I
like it. He was really good with it. Like he seemed to enjoy it and he had like a career in it, but they decided, well, I mean, he does eventually go back to it. He ends up owning a bit like a restaurant. He brings, you know, the hoes.
Oh yeah. Pot. You always say that does he buy the Leary Fresh Fish or does he buy a bar or something?
No, I thought he brings back Joey's family's restaurant that got
burned down. The Ice House. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but I mean it's a bar and stuff. It's not like the Ice House as it was. It's like a bar and everything, like a restaurant bar. But I'm pretty sure he buys back, like he opens the Ice House or something. But I don't know. But he ends up running this, like he owns the restaurant. So he goes back into it after he's done making some money with this other thing he's going to start doing. I can't wait for the next season. Yeah, it's bittersweet because it's the end.
Jimmy, I feel like we just started. It's crazy.
That's all right. You guys aren't going to lose us. We've got things coming for you.
And you can also join our Patreon and listen to bonus content over there.
Yeah.
So before we go, I have a nice comment that we got from one of our listeners. Andrea sent this to us through Instagram. She wrote, love your podcast. I am way behind, still only on season one, but I was wondering if you guys saw this clip of Joshua Jackson about 5 months ago talking about how the basketball scene in the detention episode was filmed. And she sent us the clip of the episode. Remember when
he gets hit in the face he gets hit in the face.
Dawson throws the basketball in his face. And we were like, how the hell did they do that? Well, he explains on it. When everything was coming up about that, he explained that it was a beach ball or something, and they chucked it right in his face.
Oh, so it wasn't like an actual basketball.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how they did that, but
yeah.
But thank you, Andrea, for leaving us a comment. That was really nice of you. And yes, we love that you gave us that information. If you want to send us any type of feedback or a story you want us to read on our next episode, you can send that to creektalkpodcast@gmail.com or just send us a DM in our Instagrams. But Joey.
My name's Joe now, guys.
But Jamie, I think that's it for now. I think we can end the episode. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yes, so you can find me on Instagram @jlyn_booklover.
Oh, beautiful.
Thanks.
And if you want to find us, you can find us on Instagram and Threads @CreekTalkPodcast and on Twitter @CreekTalkPod. You can join our Facebook group and engage with us over there. You can also, if you're feeling generous, give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and a 5-star rating on Spotify. It's totally free and it helps us out a lot. So we would really appreciate that. And if you're feeling super generous, you can join our Patreon and get some exclusive content over there. Just click any of our link trees in any of our bios and you'll find everything over there. But for now, thank you for listening. We hope everybody has a great holiday and we'll be back next week with an all new episode of Creek Talk Podcast. Bye. Oh my gosh. Wait, what should we say as the outro? Like, you usually say something stupid.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Yes, that works.